You may be surprised to hear this, but today is not my birthday. Well, by that I mean today is not my only birthday. In fact, I've actually been born 4 times. Today marks the 3rd time I was born. That was October 19, 1942. I was not born in the hospital. I was born in my parents' little house in the little town of Rockingham, North Carolina. Lois asked me this morning what time I was born. I think it was around 5 a.m. to 5:30 a.m. And it was a very chilly day in North Carolina. And I'm told that in order to keep me warm, the doctor and my father had to put me in the oven. And that explains a lot of my personality quirks. Now, as I said, that was the 3rd time I was born. Let's back up just a little bit. When was the 2nd time that I was born? Well, it was 9 months earlier. I guess that makes it January of 1942 that I was conceived. And according to God's word, he had a hand in the whole thing. I'm reading from Psalm 139. David said this, "Lord, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So, if conception is my 2nd birthday, what was my 1st birthday? Well, the answer is in the very next verse of Psalm 139. It says, "My frame was not hidden from you, Lord, when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, Lord, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And if that's not convincing enough, listen to Jeremiah 1:5. God is speaking, and God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." So before you and I were physically born, God knew us. Wow. But wait, there's more. He knew all the days that we would live. He knew every day that we would live. In fact, he knew every minute we would. He knew every hour and every minute, including the one where you just breathed. He is right here, right now, and he knew what was going to be happening to you in this moment. Isn't that incredible? This is why David said in Psalm 139, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." Earlier in the psalm, he said it even better. He said, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain," he said. Amen to that. It's hard to grasp how great our God is. So, when you celebrate your birthday, like I'm celebrating today, you're really celebrating your 3rd birthday too. And on that day of physical birth, the first thing that you and I did was to cry out loud. Why? Well, scientists have a list of reasons, such as these. They said that when we took our first breath, it caused our lungs to expand. And when our lungs expanded, they expelled all the liquid that was in our lungs. And it was a natural reaction to that was to cry out loud. But also, the scientists say there's another reason. They say that that crying is to release stress hormones. I mean, after all, it's very stressful to be born. You come from the warmth of mommy's body, go through a dark canal, this blinding light hits you, and it's cold, And besides that, you're hearing your mommy scream at the top of her lungs. Getting born is stressful as a baby. It's enough to make a grown man cry. I'm pausing because some of you have... never mind. But here's yet another thought as to why we cry when we're first born. And I can't support this from the Bible, but I wonder if perhaps it's somehow we are aware that we are entering into a sinful world where there's lots of pain. And we really want to go back to that place where we were under God's care in His perfect love. And in fact, we still do. We still do. And the great news is that we will. Do I hear an amen? We will. We will go back. So let's see. So far, we've talked about being born three times. But I started out by saying that I have been born four times. And I imagine you know where I'm going with this one. This is John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Here it comes. And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I've been born again. Hallelujah. The second and the third births were my physical births. The first one and the fourth one were my spiritual births. And yours also. Continuing with John 3, Nicodemus asks, "How can someone be born again when they're old? Surely you cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born." And Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Now, if you were looking at your Bible right there, you would see the word Spirit is with a capital S, which of course means that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Here's the next sentence. "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." If you were looking at your Bible at that sentence, you would see the capital S for Holy Spirit, but the last word, Spirit, is a lowercase s. So, in other words, Jesus was saying that in order for you and me to see the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit has to make us His spiritual children. That was my fourth birth experience. I have been born again by the Holy Spirit, and so have you if you have given your life to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not exactly sure of the exact date when I was born again. And I suspect there are a number of you that can identify with that. If you think back, you probably are thinking, "I've always been a Christian." I do remember, however, the exact moment that I fully realized that I was born again and how I responded to it. It was at an evangelistic crusade being led by a man by the name of Leighton Ford. Leighton Ford was Billy Graham's brother-in-law. He was the vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association for 30 years. And he came to little old Rockingham and he led a week-long crusade in the high school auditorium. I was in high school. Can you guess where I was each night? Singing in the choir, "Just as I am, one more time, one more time." And I really enjoyed sitting up there and seeing lots of people coming forward and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And then that last night came. Here we are singing "Just as I am, one more time," when this little voice came into my head and said, "Harry, go forward." And I said, but I'm already a Christian. I don't need to go forward. And the voice said, Harry, go forward. I really wrestled with it. And I thought, well, I guess I better go, because the more I resisted, the louder the voice was. So I got out of the choir loft. Wasn't easy. Climbed down the stairs, went down front, stood with all the rest, and as I was standing there, fighting back tears, the voice said something else. The voice said, Harry, I want you to be a minister. Now, like everyone else who went forward that night, I met with a counselor afterwards. And the counselor asked me questions, and I answered the counselor, and I said, I'm already a Christian. I'm already a believer. I'm born again. But this voice, and he prayed for me. And then I went home, and I told my parents what had happened. My mother said nothing. My father was very disappointed because he wanted me to be an insurance salesman with him in his company. And he had a view of ministers as being lower class. I heard a lot about that. Now I'll skip a decade or so. I did become a minister of music. And I was ordained as a reverend. And I assumed I had fulfilled my calling, but wait, there's more. God was not finished yet, because about 14 years ago, you called me to be your pastor, your minister. So now, here I am, in the closing years of my life, celebrating my birthday and realizing that God knew all the days ordained for me before one of them came to be. And I thank God that He used you to fulfill that. God has all of your birthdays in His hand. All of them. Even before time began, God had all your birthdays in His hand. And that, of course, includes your being born again, assuming that you are. Here's another biblical reference. This is 1 Peter 1. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Praise the Lord, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But wait, there's more. God is not just into the birthday business. God is also into the adoption business. You and I have been adopted to be His children. This is Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption of sonship. You and I have been adopted. And when did that happen? Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. Wow. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will. Hallelujah. And if we have been adopted by God, our Heavenly Father, then we are joint heirs of the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to getting my full inheritance from God. Not yet, no. In biblical days, a Roman father would bring his young son into the public forum in Rome where there was a lot of activity. And there was a platform there, and he would bring his son up on the platform, and the people knew what was going to happen, so they would gather around and form an audience. And the father would say out loud, "This is my son. He has now come of age. He now inherits my name, my property, and my standing in the community." And at that point, the father would take the robe off of his young son, which was called the pretexta, and he would place on his son a different robe called the virilis. And that robe literally means coat of a man. The old was put off, and the new was put on. And then there was a huge celebration. Happy birthday! This young man is now an adult. He's adopted. His inheritance is sure. The whole crowd was happy. And you know what that ceremony was called? It was called adoption. The Apostle Paul witnessed that in Rome many times. And later he wrote this in 2 Corinthians 5. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." I love that. Not the new will come. The new is here, right now, as you're breathing right now. John added this in 1 John chapter 3. He said, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." So adoption calls for you and me to have a huge celebration. You know what? If God had not adopted us and we arrived on that public forum called Judgment Day, we would go straight to hell. But because of receiving the gift of Jesus Christ, who paid the full debt, and the rebirth of the Holy Spirit, our outcome is going to be just the opposite. And that calls for the heavens to open up and for all the angels in heaven to shout, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" But wait, there's more. More? Yes. At your appointed time, the old is going to be put off and the new is going to be put on you this way. Here's what God tells us through Paul. 1 Corinthians 15. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Praise God! We're going to receive new bodies. I don't know about you. But, maybe your body's perfect, and maybe you don't need a new body. I need an upgrade. I'll be really glad when this time comes. I'm looking forward to that. Hallelujah, Lord. Matthew 25, 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" Does any of this give you a clear perspective of who you are in Jesus Christ? is it even possible to not be thrilled by this news? Blessed assurance, Jesus is yours. Not just mine, but ours. And that assurance allows you to stand tall and confident that you have a home prepared for you in heaven, and the deed of that home has been purchased by Jesus Christ. That should make all of us shouting Christians rather than doubting Christians. I can't take any credit for that phrase. I read it somewhere, but I like it. We should all be shouting Christians rather than doubting Christians. It would scare the liver out of me if you guys started shouting. I would love it, however. Feel free. I love the way Andre Crouch put it, and he expressed it this way. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved that you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Amen.